Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is the impact of multifamily maintenance teams. I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Adrian Danila, Regional Maintenance Director with Birchstone Residential, and Gary Gregory, an author and the transformational leadership coach with the Gary Gregory. Sorry for that. It's my second episode today, so I'm a little bit tongue-tied. Let's talk a little bit about just kind of setting the table for the importance of maintenance. And I'm going to start with you, Gary. I know in your work history, working for different management companies, how important are the maintenance teams on site?
Paul, I just wanted to thank you so much for having me on the show today, and excited to be a part of this. And Adrian, such a great, knowledgeable person with maintenance. So I just wanted to start that out by saying super excited to be with you guys today. And so, Paul, to your question, the importance of maintenance. What I see, have always seen with maintenance, is they're the backbone of all the apartment communities. And I think we sometimes can forget that, how important maintenance is. And one of the things, you know, I think we should at some point talk about is, you know, as technology changes, we're going to see less dependence on the office team, because there's all this technology related to, you know, taking care of applications and touring and, you know, the resident portals and so forth. But what creates a vacuum, and they're still going to need, you know, connections and communications and, you know, dependence in some respect at that community. And it, you know, from what I see that falling onto the maintenance team.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically saying that the face of the property, of the asset, is the maintenance team, right?
It truly is. Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
And Adrian, being on the front lines in maintenance, in the maintenance area, headquartered in the Atlanta area, tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've learned about how the property and the on-site team depends on maintenance.
So first of all, Paul, I want to say big thank you for the invite. Gary, great being with you on our show. It's a pleasure being here. I wanted to start by saying that, you know, maintenance really affects the largest controllable expense in every single property budget. The largest expense that, you know, it is controllable is going to be maintenance on every budget. So you could imagine that how a service team could really make or break your budget. If they're knowledgeable, they could definitely save you a lot of money. And if they're not, it's going to go the other way around. Like Gary said, the backbone of the property, that is not a overstatement. Really, the communities are relying heavily on service, because service is the face of our business, really. If you think about it, a service technician is one of the very few people that have access to our resident homes. If you think about who visits the resident, right, is really their closest friends and family, and maybe their doctor, let's say, they're visiting a home. But besides that, it really is just maintenance and maybe the pest control service. So we should be able to build report with the tenant, with the resident, and then have them trust us, because, you know, they can't just let anybody in an apartment. That's a very important thing. And it's also how we present ourselves. So our service is actually a marketing tool for our communities. They have impact in resident retention. Of course, you know, good service translates into higher retention rates, financial impact, which I just, you know, mentioned. And then also a very, very powerful tool, Gary just mentioned technology, is online reputation. So what every person that, you know, is looking for an apartment home does first thing, they go and they Google the apartment community name and they're looking at the reviews. Most of the reviews really online are maintenance related. So imagine if your service team is not really able to provide an excellent service, that, you know, you're not going to have great ratings, and that's going to translate in less traffic, less prospects. I think those are the few main areas that our teams are impacting the business in a big way.
Yeah, and that's all true. And Gary, you know, Adrian mentioned online reviews, and it is something that is, you know, when you see a review that's not so nice, it typically has something to do with a maintenance issue. And I know part of what you've done in your work life in the industry has to deal with how to handle those types of situations in reviews. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Adrian brings up an excellent point that the resident retention, the online reviews, everything that is kind of the emotion of living in an apartment deals with how maintenance tends to take care of and supports all of the residents' homes. And in fact, you know, there was a SatisFacts webinar out in July 2021. It was a webinar about all things maintenance. And they brought up some really powerful statistics. And number one driver of positive reviews and number one complaint topic is maintenance. And I thought that, you know, what a dichotomy of, you know, it's either a love or a hate, you know, kind of emotional relationship with maintenance. And if you get that love right, the online reviews are really going to reflect those positive reviews, because maintenance, you know, has something special. And we, you know, the loyalty scores, if you look at those, if you look at appearance, just like, you know, Adrian said, appearance, the perceived value, the renewals, and the recommendations. Again, this is from the SatisFacts webinar in July 2021. Maintenance is the number one item, just like you said. And, you know, if you look at first impressions when a resident moves in, or when a resident Googles the apartment, or when a resident visits the apartment community, those first impressions are so important. And the majority of those first impressions comes from the work that maintenance does. You know, not to discredit what the office team does, but if you look at the big picture, maintenance creates that environment. And, you know, a little bit about first impressions. When a resident moves in, you know, one of the statistics that the SatisFacts webinar shared was 21% of new move-ins have something broken in the apartment. And so that creates an emotional response, or, you know, something that impression the resident gets from the move-in, from that community, from everybody. You know, is it something preventable? Probably most times, but 21% of residents that move in have something broken in the apartment. I think that speaks volume, because that translates into online reviews. It translates to loyalty scores. And so if we, you know, continue to support, engage, transform our maintenance teams into, you know, like Adrian says, you know, that has that connection with the residents and understands the value of what maintenance does, then we can create better first impressions and create bigger you know, positive online reputation. So, yeah, I mean, just like you said, the online reputation is so important in maintenance. You know, according to the SatisFacts webinar in 2021, is the number one driver.
Yeah, and we've got about 1 minute left, Adrian. I want to ask you the question about, and we're going to talk about recruiting maintenance people and maintenance personnel in the next segment. But let's talk a little about, or give your opinion, I guess, in this last minute. How easy is it to find someone to become a maintenance technician?
It's a very challenging task. And I think for the most part is because we still have a lot of work to do as an industry in just kind of setting the path for individuals. And actually, our outreach is not as, I will say, aggressive in a positive sense as other industries. We don't advertise enough to different categories, for example, high school students and maybe military and other groups that are possible candidates for starting a career in maintenance. And hopefully I'll have a chance to talk about that at length a little bit later down the road, because I think that there's a huge potential out there for us as an industry to actually reach out and bring people in that never had anything to do with the industry up until now and just help them become successful in maintenance.
All right.
Make a career in property management.
We will talk about that more in this next segment. So we're going to be back after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
We're back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing something that is very important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is the impact of multifamily maintenance teams. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Adrian Danella, Regional Maintenance Director with Birchstone Residential, and Gary Gregory, Transformational Leadership Coach with the Gary Gregory. He's also an author. We're going to talk a little bit about that in our final segment. I do want to let our listeners know that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So we spoke in the first segment or at the end of the first segment a little bit about the difficulty of finding maintenance personnel. I got to tell you that, you know, this is a weekly radio show that I interview people from all over the country from the industry, the multifamily industry. And one of the common themes I hear is it is so difficult to find good maintenance folks to put on site. And also the fact that a lot of people are leaving the industry because they have opportunities elsewhere in other industries. Adrian, you kind of talked a little bit about that you didn't think or you thought that the industry could do a better job of advertising and reaching out to different categories of people, whether it's armed services people or high school students and so forth. Let's talk a little bit more about the need for trying to find people and why it's so difficult for that to happen, as well as how difficult it is to keep them once they're there. You want to take that, Adrian?
Absolutely. So I think we have two main challenges that we have to overcome as a industry. And, you know, just having a very honest conversation right here, the first, the most important is our culture, company culture. In general, every company, you know, has, you know, different level of challenges with culture, with, you know, people feeling appreciated, people being valued. I think that's really the main thing that kind of starts everything else. Second one will be pay. I went and I did about a month ago, I did a market research in my market in Atlanta area where I'm based, and I just realized that we're basically our entry-level tech positions are paid just a little bit more than what somebody at Costco warehouse will get paid to start with. So when you consider how many trades our technicians have to be proficient in, and then the fact that, you know, they have to be on call, which is a huge deal for maintenance technicians, it makes it really hard for us to compete even with, again, Costco, which is a great business and a great job to have. But at the same time, if someone has the choice between, you know, being on call, having all this knowledge, having to be out in a heat, you know, all day in the summer, in a cold all day in a winter, and a warehouse job where there are other elements and make just about the same money, I think, you know, a lot of times the choice is really obvious. The second thing is we're not just competing amongst each other with other management companies over a shrinking pool of candidates, but we're actually competing with trades, with plumbing companies, with HVAC companies, with appliance repair companies. And our pay currently, again, I speak for the market in Atlanta, it's actually significantly lower than what those companies are offering. And under the circumstance that, again, their technicians typically are not required to pull coal. So those are the main challenges that I'm seeing.
Yeah, and Gary, I want to ask you, you know, based on your experience in the industry, Adrian's right. I mean, it's not just a pay discrepancy. It's also the fact that that maintenance teams have to be on call, and you know that's not a common thing for, you know, working in different industries and other different trades. Did you find that challenging?
Oh, absolutely. And I think Adrian hit, you know, perfect spot on with his two points of the challenges, culture and pay. And, you know, just we're competing with Costco. You know, there's no employee at Costco that's on call 24 hours because somebody needs some toilet paper, you know, at midnight. But, you know, our maintenance teams are on call in case, you know, something happens. They got to get out there and do that. So that's absolutely a challenge. And, you know, in U.S. News World Report, or the Bureau of Labor Statistics, is estimating between 2019 and 2029 that 63,000 new jobs are going to open up for maintenance and repair workers. Mm. That's a huge amount of jobs, and we are competing, just like Adrian said, with other companies, HVAC, Costco. I mean, if you want to go there, plumbing companies, you know, these make-ready companies, because you know, what I'm seeing is we're finding a lot of specialized companies that are just going in and doing make readies, or they're just going in and doing paints. And it's a real quick in and out kind of job. Whereas, you know, our maintenance personnel at the communities, they live there. I mean, that is their, you know, essentially their life, taking care of these, you know, the apartments and the home. And I believe we're really going to have to start as an industry looking at the value, the perceived value of a maintenance associate, because the demand is going to become so great. And the supply of maintenance technicians, or the interest of supply of maintenance technicians, is going to get so low that we're going to need to get ahead of this in a multitude of different ways. But I believe, you know, what Adrian said, pay is more than likely going to be the first step. We've got to make maintenance personnel, maintenance job, become more attractive. Because like Adrian said, if I can go work at Costco inside in the AC versus working in and out of an apartment, running through a community, you know, on call at the same rate, you know, which one am I going to choose? I can tell you what I would choose, but that's just me. So I think because of the demand and the supply, it's really going to create that need. As an industry, we've got to get ahead of it. I think we've got to, you know, identify ways to increase pay for our maintenance technicians.
Yeah, and that probably is the first step. Would you agree, Adrian?
Absolutely. And I also get always the challenge that's in front of us, right? It's hard to increase pay $2-3 an hour for technicians that are currently in place because it's not a budgeted expense. Well, I will say that there's resources out there. It's just about how we look at things, at business as a whole. First of all, again, I go back to Atlanta market. We have a rent growth year to date of about 20% in the entire market. I think that itself brings a lot more revenue to the business. So actually, just that alone will allow pay increases with no problem at all. There's another way to look at it too. You know, let's say that you work for a company that has 10 properties in a certain market, and then you're looking at the average of how many vacant positions you have all the time. Let's say that you have, at any given time, you have an average of 5 openings. Okay, well, what you could do, you could create a roving team, hire some really good skilled technicians, pay them well, and have them as the relief team for the sites they're short-staffed. That actually helps with resident retention. It also helps with employee retention because there's a situation that's not uncommon. It's very, very common nowadays. I have my peers right here in Atlanta market sharing with me one technician servicing 3 properties. So 3 sister properties have one maintenance employee working, servicing all of them, which is, you know, it's a lot for anyone.
Sure. It would be hard to keep up with the work orders and make your residents happy. We're going to go ahead and break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. We're going to talk a lot more about the impact of maintenance teams on multifamily properties. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic today is the impact of multifamily maintenance teams. I'm Paul Marks. And joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Adrian Danella, Regional Maintenance Director with Birchstone Residential, and Gary Gregory, an author and transformational leadership coach with The Gary Gregory. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So let's talk a little bit about, we discussed how difficult it is to keep multifamily maintenance technicians. Let's talk a little bit about recruiting and maybe some creative ideas on how to do that. Gary, you have any thoughts?
I do. A lot of times we look for randomly maintenance techs, just throwing out Craigslist ads. We put on Indeed, all the different websites, and we cast a wide net, hoping that we can, it stirs up interest with somebody randomly looking on the internet. One of the things that I believe will be absolutely valuable is creating an intern program. Now, there's going to be a lot of high school students or people that come out of the military that, as Adrian mentioned, that, don't necessarily want to go to college, or college may not be the right fit for them, but, man, they've got great, skills with fixing things and repairing things. They like working with their hands. And there's a great number of people out there like that, but there's so much noise with regards to the glamour of going to college. So they just kind of gravitate towards that. And so I believe there's a really strong need to create some sort of intern program or some sort of program that attracts those individuals that don't want to go to college, or they work well with their hands. And if we had an intern program, whether it's, something through NAA, whether it's just a standalone program, or even if it's company driven, I believe that is a function that can attract quality candidates, because they're like, hey, I don't necessarily want to go to college, but here's this interesting program that I can get paid on-the-job pay training. I can learn skills. I'm good at working with my hands, but here's an opportunity for me to learn skills, and even potential of getting a, maybe an HVAC, an EPA certification for free, as I go through this program. Or I get a CPO, Certified Pool Operators Certificate, because I go through this program, and I do this, And, you know, through that intern program, you can even create a career path. And I know Adrian was real passionate about this, and I so support him. But creating a visible, transparent career path through an intern program, I believe, would be such an attractive, you know, way to entice and encourage these potential candidates. Hey, don't go to college if that's not right for you. Look for this maintenance intern program or this maintenance college, if you will, as a choice, as a way to create valuable skills and a long-term career opportunity, because there's so much that you can do with that. I believe we really need to fine-tune and better cast that net for those candidates. Because right now, it feels haphazard and accidental looking for candidates. I think we need to create that purpose-driven program, whether it's intern or, you know, a career college for, you know, maintenance personnel. So I really do believe there's a niche out there that needs to be filled, because that supply is going to run out real soon if we don't do something.
What are your thoughts, Adrian?
I completely agree with Gary, and as he said, I'm very passionate about this topic. We do have, at local level, a few initiatives throughout the country where apartment associations are reaching out to individuals that haven't been in an industry previously, and they try to put them to a fast-track program, like 6 weeks, get them all the certifications that they need, get them some hands-on training, and it's been proven to be fairly successful in Atlanta and a few other markets. But we need to do way more than that. Like Gary said, we need to reach out to high school students. I wouldn't wait until they're I will definitely go to 10th graders and say, hey, you're making plans for the future. We're sure of that. If you consider any given point that college is not for you, this is a great alternative. We could come up with very real life examples. I know of myself of leasing agents that now are CEO of the companies, groundskeeper that became a president of a company. We have great stories to tell. I think storytelling is extremely important in relating to, especially to young people that, you know, they're really at a point where they're wondering, what am I going to do with my future? So those are definitely things that we should be seriously looking into. Or like Gary said, we're just going to run out. The supply is going to run out. And then that's going to be a big issue for us as an industry. It's going to be very painful.
You know, the radio show is headquartered in Houston, Texas, and of course I think the Houston Apartment Association is one of the largest in the country, if not the largest. But there is a program that I'm aware of here that's local. It certainly could be something that could be carried across the country, but. The organization Goodwill Industries that has the thrift stores and so forth, they also have job placement services, things for people who kind of need a hand up instead of a handout. And they are in Houston. I guess they've partnered with the Houston Apartment Association, and they do CAMT training. So they have a ready resource of people who are looking for employment, who've gone through tough times, and they have been giving them CAMT training and getting them certified, and then they help to place them within apartment communities and management companies and owners throughout the Houston area. I don't think that's a nationwide program with Goodwill, but it certainly seems like that could be taken nationwide, Gary.
You're absolutely right. I know even in Colorado, they've got an internship program with the Colorado Apartment Association. So there's, you know, just like Adrian mentioned and you mentioned, Paul, there's these sporadic local opportunities. But, you know, I think the bigger need is it needs to become national, because unless you're in those markets, you don't know about it. And, you know, it's going to become a need, and it's a need already that you know, maybe somebody somewhere, you know, finds this as their calling to create this national opportunity to, you know, to improve opportunities and the career path in the maintenance industry.
Yeah, it certainly seems like there ought to be some way to do it, and maybe the umbrella would be ultimately the National Apartment Association to get something
right.
like that started, and hopefully they'll take a look at that. What other recruiting type ideas do you have, Adrian, that that you think could be effective?
Well, first of all, I think we're looking at recruiting as a as an event. It's definitely not an event. We should not recruit just when we have open positions. We should always recruit. Recruiting is a process. We should approach recruiting with a sales approach, with a salesperson mind. In other words, the internet made it so easy for everybody to apply. You could upload your resume on an Indeed, and if you apply for a maintenance technician position, you could apply for literally 20 jobs in like 5 minutes. Hmm. Your resume goes to 15, 20 different recruiters in 5 minutes. So imagine what happens next. Whoever's going to call in the first, second, third, they're going to have the only chance to even speak with that candidate. Typically, if they go to the first interview and they like what they're hearing, they're just not going to go to any other interviews, not going to answer the phones. To me, a resume that's been sitting with nothing happening to it for 6 hours is probably one that just went stale. That's why you get such a high rate of non-responsive candidates, just because they answer the first two or three phone calls and they're making their mind immediately. There is such a need, things happen so fast that we as recruiters have to do everything we take it takes to drop everything we're working on and just call candidates as soon as the lead comes through. Otherwise, somebody else will.
Yeah.
And
go ahead. We got about 1 minute left. Adrian, let me ask you this question. If you could name three tips of things to mention to attract a candidate for someone, and like we've only got a short time to do this, give me those three tips.
Well, first of all, we had to look at what a person has to offer. I would never try to fit a person into an existing role. I would like to see the talent and maybe create the role for that person. One very big sell is company culture. If we really have a solid company culture, we have to mention that. Just to see how important culture is, people often leave jobs for pay cuts or for a lower level job, just hoping that they're going to be ending up working in a better working environment. Those are the few things that definitely I will say. And the third one is, I go back to pay.
Pay.
Very competitive pay. It's a very competitive market out there.
All right. We're going to be back right after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final episode, final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry, the impact of multifamily maintenance teams. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Adrian Danella, a regional maintenance director with Birchstone Residential, and Gary Gregory, an author and transformational leadership coach with the Gary Gregory. Let's talk. You know, we've talked a lot about attracting new talent to the industry and, of course, the challenges that are there. But let's discuss in this final segment the importance of retaining the employee. How do you retain an existing maintenance technician? Adrian, you want to take that?
Sure. So I think the one very important thing is company culture, as I mentioned a few times throughout the show already, mm-hmm. and then the team dynamics on the site teams. How does the office team interact with a service team? As long as you have a cohesion right there, and then service manager and community manager act as they are co-managing the property, not one being the boss of the other, I think that really changes the dynamics a lot. And it makes the service team getting the feeling from management that, you know, what they do is really important. They're all equal, all part of a team. The second thing that we need to do, is training. Now, we offer a lot of training in the industry, but most of it is blanket training, and it's not measurable. I would really like to see some KPIs built around how are we measuring the effectiveness of training. So what I think training should be is really targeted per individual. Two sides. The first side is what the individual really likes to do in their career. If they really want to fix ACs, we're going to offer them the type of training. If they really want to do electrical work, we got to offer that to them. And then the second part is what management thinks that, you know, they should improve on. So again, it should be very targeted, and it should be measurable, and it should be mobile. Very, very important. It's to create just something like an app on a phone with troubleshooting tips. Some companies are already working on developing that, and just have the technicians with an app on a phone out there when they're fixing an AC and they're running into, you know, a situation they can't really figure out, to pull the app and maybe find the answer right there. And the third one is creating a career path for our industry professionals. If we're looking on a management side, you know, we have the ARM designation with IRM. We have the certified department manager designation, but we don't have anything for service managers. How about this National Apartment Association? Certified Apartment Service Manager. How to teach our service managers to manage the management, to learn the management side of the business, to learn how to be managers. In all reality, the overlap between a service manager job and a service technician, in my opinion, is only 20%. How do we fill the gap? How do we transition the maintenance technician to become a successful service manager?
Yeah, that is a great idea. And I want to kind of take it in a little bit different direction, Gary, to ask your thoughts. I mean, you know, we talked about in the first segment about how the maintenance teams on site are becoming the face of the property, and you're an expert on leadership. How important is training in leadership, you think, to a maintenance technician?
Oh, I think it's absolutely valuable, if not, you know, just as much as the technical side of training. I believe that the leadership training is equally valuable, because when you have a team out there that understands, you know, their skills and the things that they need to do, and they understand the value that they present being there on that team. In fact, I'm recently reading a book, The Service Culture by Jeff Toyster, and he's got this quote that says, engaged employees regularly look beyond their job description to see how they can make a difference for their customers. And for me, an engaged employee is a leader, because they recognize the value that they offer not only to the company and to their team, but to their customers, the residents in this case. And so I believe, you know, just as Adrian said, you know, the team dynamics, when a maintenance tech or maintenance supervisor engages and is part of the conversation with the community manager or the district regional manager and is involved and part of that conversation, then you're creating leaders. You're creating leaders that understand that they have value through their engagement. And, you know, even Adrian talked about budget was what, you know, the R&M budget, repair and maintenance budget, is one of the larger components of a community's budget. And it's all managed by maintenance. And so it's absolutely critical that the maintenance team, the maintenance supervisor, service manager is part of that communication and helps steer and develop what happens through that. And that's growing leadership. And so, you know, we talk a lot about the office team creating leadership. I think it's equally valuable that each of the maintenance technicians understand they are leaders out there and they can make a difference by doing the things that they do. So I absolutely agree with you. I mean, there's just so much value in the leadership training with the maintenance teams as well.
Yeah. And Adrian, you know, I mean, you are actually, as you know, a leader of what you do. You're over several properties in a portfolio that stretches over different markets. And you have to be a leader to your teams at the different sites. Leadership important. Training is important. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree. And I think the most important thing for us as leaders, and, you know, our number one responsibility is to understand that we are here in our roles. We work for our teams. It's not the other way around. The teams do not work for us. We're here to support. We're here to lead with empathy and kindness. Mm-hmm. And show our teams the path, just our example is the most powerful thing. If we provide a positive example, people will embrace it. They will also reciprocate, and they will follow the lead.
Okay. Well, I want to transition us now and let you guys tell a little bit about how you got in the industry, what you're doing now, and also, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do that? Let's start with you, Adrian.
Started in an industry back in 2003. I was new to the United States. I was barely speaking enough English to order fries at McDonald's. And then a friend of mine told me I was looking for a job, for a full-time job with benefits. A friend of mine mentioned to me, hey, Georgia Tech has some groundskeeper openings. So sure enough, I went and applied, but I didn't get any groundskeeper positions over there, but this word groundskeeper stuck with me. So every time I'll go to a online search, I will search for groundskeeper positions. About 6 months later, I found a part-time groundskeeper position at an apartment community, and this is how I start in an industry. I worked there for part-time for 6 months. That turned into another full-time position and just worked my way up since to punch, service technician, assistant service manager, and regional maintenance director.
Fantastic. And you're with Birchstone Residential?
I am currently with Birchstone Residential. I've started my new position at Birchstone about 2 weeks ago. I truly enjoy my first weeks over here. great company culture. I would invite your audience to check out our company and our website. Also, I could be reached out directly via LinkedIn. I have about 22,000 connections on LinkedIn, and one of my goals on LinkedIn is really to network with as many professionals as possible and help literally anybody that reaches out to me directly, whether they need some advice, whether they're looking for a career change. Just know that I'm there for you to support you along the way.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. And Gary, tell us a little bit about what you're doing. And I might add that you're a best-selling author with two books that I'm aware of, The Super Fantastic Process and The Super Fantastic Principles. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, yeah. So just, my story is I started in student housing for several years, moved over into the multifamily housing. End up writing two books, co-authored another book as well, best-selling author, and focused on transformational leadership. And I think that's an opportunity because right now we've got so many transactional managers out there that we've got opportunities to create transformational leadership that will really, elevate our leadership out there, not only for, people working in the office, but I believe it's applicable for our team in maintenance. And so you can find me on my website, thegarygregory.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I'm following Adrian as well on LinkedIn. So if you guys are not following Adrian on LinkedIn, you got to look him up and follow him for sure.
Well, to be fair, both of you are very prolific on LinkedIn. I see your posts all the time, and it's great that some of the things that you guys are talking about on there. And I appreciate you coming on today. And I do want to let our listeners know that if you go to the specific episode page for this episode on the Multifamily Matters website, which is multifamilyradio.com, there will be a logo for each of the companies for the Gary Gregory, as well as for Birchstone Residential. If you click on those logos, it'll take you directly to their company website. So you can reach out to them that way as well. I would love to have more discussions with you guys, have you on again sometime soon, but we're going to have to break it here. We're going to be back next week with another great topic and a power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.